The creative process has kind of been something that's been pretty much your whole life, or has been at least a long part of it. I remember talking, talking to your mom about it, but I also remember seeing, you know, your brother was extremely musically gifted. Was it just something that kind of was part of the family and kind of how you grew up?
Yeah, definitely. Music was a huge part of our family. So my mom has been a classically trained musician, she was the director of music at St. Mike's Church. And she used to put on live concerts back in the day when I was really young. So that was definitely a part. I don't remember her shows, but I remember it was sort of like a big deal when I was a kid. And then, yeah, my brother, he took up music in high school. And then he went on to pursue music. So he was in a band, an indie band called the Most Serene Republic. And they
Juno-nominated.
Juno-nominated, yeah, that's right. And they toured U.S., Canada, and Europe. And had a pretty good following. And so his musical tastes were a big influence in mine, and the way he created music has basically been the same way I create music. And then my dad too was like, all our musical tastes come from my dad, of what we like, Beatles and, you know, some 70s rock bands and 80s rock bands, all that stuff. And my sister sings as well. Mm-hmm. So definitely music. And then my dad's a funny guy, and I got my sense of humor from him.
It's almost like a British style of humor, isn't it? It's not like right in your
face.
Very
dry.
Yeah.
Dry and sarcastic, which was, my dad used to take pride in, you know, throwing a straight face when he would talk to people, and they couldn't tell that he was joking a lot.
Right.
And so he liked that, and I just naturally took on that same style. And yeah, it's just, it's now it's just who I am. I don't show a lot of emotion just naturally.
Right.
So it just, yeah. So that influenced my comedy for sure.
My aunt, Patricia Myhill, do you know her? So
she's my biggest fan.
Is she?
I love Patricia.
So she, I obviously known you since high school, but she was telling me about your stand up and your mom, and I used to look for videos of it, but it seems that there's no, people try to pin creative people down into they're this or they're this or they're this. How would you describe your creativity and what you do in the arts to somebody who doesn't know or is just coming across your page?
That's a good question to ask and a hard one to answer. I would say, like, even my immediate family doesn't even know what I do for a living and everything, what all it takes. I would say I'm a comedian first, because I think in terms of comedy. Everything that I view in the world, I'm always looking for a laugh. That's how I've been my whole life. And then I love music as well. It's a passion. So I'm pursuing both of those things, which are independent artistic things. I'm pursuing both of those. So comedian first, maybe musician second, but they're both part of who I am. And what I do, I'm basically an entrepreneur to anyone who doesn't know the field. I'm constantly pushing and pursuing and creating things on my own and trying to get attention from it. So that's basically what I do. So they're both difficult career paths that I don't recommend to anyone, because there's not a lot. You can't do it for money, because there is no money in either one. It's very hard to get attention in both of them. You have to love it to do it, and it has to be something, because especially comedy, there's so many great comedians in the country that just die out because there's no opportunity for them. And like, there's really funny people that just give up because it's such a hard thing to pursue, and there's no easy path to follow. You can't just say, follow this path and you'll be successful, because it doesn't work like that. There is no path. You have to build your own path, and it never stops, and it never gets easier. You just constantly pursue.
So is that a difficult thing? Because you hear with musicians, for instance, they say it's hard to find, to come up with a new riff, because either Clapton or Hendrix or B.B. King or somebody's already done it. Is that a challenge for you, or in the same light, is it tough to come up with a new angle on the comedy style that you do?
No, that part I think is easy for me because I don't think about it. They're both different processes. Both times I'm thinking creatively, but music, it's purely whatever comes to my mind, I go with it. It's almost like improv, where I'm not thinking a whole lot, and if it sounds like something, that's fine to me. Like, I don't worry about that. But it's not very structured, where comedy for me is extremely structured. There's a lot of pre-work that goes into making a video, a lot of thinking, and you know, when I write a song, I don't have, as soon as I start recording it, that's when I'm writing the song. So I don't know where I'm going to finish up when the song's done. It's just, I just run with it. And comedy's the opposite. Comedy, I know exactly what I'm going to do and say when I start making a video before it's done. So it's very much structured. But I just focus on, if I'm doing a comedy video, I'm purely focused on trying to make every part as funny as possible. That's all I'm focused on. So I'm not worried if I'm copying someone or things like that. And I don't know, I can't speak for other people, but I just think that's, you have to be focused on yourself and as funny as you can be, basically. Right.
There's so many times where you see in comedy, for instance, you have somebody who is just a bundle of energy, like a Robin Williams style, where they're kind of off the walls. But then you have kind of more introspective, introverted people. You know, somebody like the way Dave Chappelle is as a person versus the way he is on stage. Do you think that being I don't know if I would describe you as an introvert, but I've always known you as a fairly quiet, reserved guy.
I'm totally an introvert.
So is that your outlet? Is the creativity, like, if you couldn't do that, what would you do as a release? Is that kind of where it is?
Yeah, the creative, it's weird. It's a weird position to be in. I'm an introvert. I don't like being around people, but I love attention. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I've sort of, throughout my life, I've struggled with that identity too, where I don't want to be around people, but I want people to like me.
Right.
I want them to give me props for what I do. So doing the Belleville video, I love performing. I have this energy that I have to release. It's an outlet. I become a different person if I'm on stage. I like to keep to myself all the time. But I've always, my entire life, I've had this, like you said, a release, this outlet that I want to make people laugh and I want to get that attention from making them laugh. I think all comedians have that, where you have this you have this void that's, for your whole life, goes unfillable. You want to fill up this meter of laughter that you get from people, and it's like you can never fill it to the top, and you crave that attention. And some people, when they do stand up and stuff, they can't. It's like a drug for them. They can't get enough of that.
Was that the way you were first on stage? That first stand up show you did. Although there's the nerves and everything else that's part of that. Is that a high you always are chasing the rest of your life?
Yes. It's like a drug. It's hard to recapture that when you go on stage and perform and get those laughs and your headspace. You just become a completely different person.
Right.
And then as soon as you get off stage, you feel this adrenaline dump and you try to remember. It's sort of, not necessarily a low, but it's like you're thinking what just happened and you constantly replay through that and then you want to get up and do it again.
Right.
But for me, the hard part for that was I love the performing. I don't like everything that follows the performing and everything after. I don't like being in a crowd of people and sitting and watching comedy, especially if it's bad comedy. If it's good comedy, you get lost in it. But if it's bad comedy, you're thinking, like, I'm sitting here. What am I doing here? I want to leave. And then the after part is you have to schmooze people. You have to go up and talk to the other comedians because you have to further your career by getting in.
Do
with
media
them.
Interviews.
Do interviews. Or have people just come up and talk to you about how they liked your joke or didn't like your joke. And so that part, the introvert takes over, and I just want to shy away and get back home as soon as possible.
Right.
So I knew that stand-up wasn't the career path for me because of all that. If I could just go and perform and get on stage and leave, that's perfect, but that's not the career. That's not how that career path works. So it took me a long time to figure out how to find a career for myself in comedy. And that's one of the things I like about music is there is none of that. I don't go to do perform live. I just get to create and release it to the world. And if somebody listens, awesome. Comedy, you still have to find a way to get it out to people. And making videos was hard for a while because I didn't get the feedback. You didn't get the laughs that you get from on stage,
right,
where you get that instant gratification. You know a joke works right away because someone will laugh at it and you're like, oh, okay, good. It worked. I got a laugh. And you fill that meter. But when you're releasing online content to no one for a long time, you don't know if it's funny or not. You don't know if people like it. You don't know what you're doing it for. So when I released the Belleville video, I didn't know it would take off like it did. I just did it because to me it seemed like a funny thing. But it was the best thing that happened for me because I finally got that feedback and that laughter. Even though it's all online, it still feels the same as a live performance.
So you don't have to deal with the people in the same way as you do in that, because the screen is there, kind of.
Sort of, except I live here and I made a video about my hometown. So
what was that like? Because you're in a small town, so everybody knows everybody. So either they know you or your mom or dad or your sister or your brother. What was the reaction to that video? Was I imagine most of it must have been pretty positive.
Yeah, for the most part, it's very positive. People get it and people run with it. And I think the reason why it took off is because so many people identified with it.
Yeah.
And which I wasn't expecting to. I didn't know if so many people saw the same viewpoints that I saw about Belleville. But it was definitely awkward. It made me want to stay inside even more,
right,
and worry about going out into the public.
A lot of it happened in like a 48-hour window too, right? Like, didn't it just shoot up?
Bug on your shirt there.
Thanks.
it took off immediately. And so it was a bit of a whirlwind. It's extremely exciting and stuff, having something take off. But at the same time, like, as soon as I go out of my house, I was like, are people looking at me?
Yeah, and you're not the director. You're the director and the screenwriter, and you're the star of it too, right?
Yeah, I do every single component of it. So, yeah, like, I have to own up to anything that I write or say, and like, it was a bit of, like, you made your bed, so lie in it kind of thing. Like, whatever happens from this, whether it be good or bad, I have to be willing to face it.
Are we too sensitive? And I always love talking to comedians because I think one of the most important things for any creative person is the right to freedom and freedom of the process and freedom of speech and that kind of thing, that no matter where people typically are on a spectrum of whatever their belief structure is, that seems to be something that people in comedy and in the arts really want to protect, is the freedom to be able to be yourself and to create something. How important is that in everything you do as an artist?
I think for me, the answer right away is no, we're not too sensitive. Like, it's very, I find it really easy to be funny. I think the audience, like, every comedian knows that you have to be able to read an audience. Mm-hmm. And globally, our audience is moving this way, where you have to be more aware of what's happening in the world around you and how people are going to react to what you do. And I find it really easy to maneuver around that. I don't worry. I think every single comedian writes and comes up with material with never ever with the purpose that, in fact, I know this is true, is your purpose is to never offend. You're never writing up material and thinking this is going to offend people. That's never on your mind.
It's
because
be
if that's on your mind, you're going to lose. You're not going to be funny. Your goal is always to make as many people laugh as possible. That's what every joke is. It's, I'm trying to get as many laughs as possible. And if people get offended by that, then you didn't know that you were crossing that line. But I find it really easy to not cross the line. And if someone feels like I crossed the line, then that's on both of us. Like, I don't...
Sure. And so the reason I asked that is I was watching the other day, Jim Jeffries was talking about how something he did 10 or 15 years ago, that line has now changed where you can go to the edge of those lines, and that something you said 10 or 15 or 20 years ago may not age well.
Yeah.
And he said, the whole goal for me, it's like if you're a pilot, your goal isn't to crash into the mountain. Your goal isn't to offend or to crash the joke. Your goal is to be funny. But now the time has changed, that something that we find acceptable today in 20 years
might not be. My people might look at my comedy 20 years from now and be like, wow, he's a terrible person. But that's not how comedy works.
Right.
You don't write stuff with the purpose to offend, because if you do, then you will offend, and people aren't going to laugh at that. And no comedian wants to do a set where people don't laugh, wants to do content where people don't laugh,
because
then you're failing at what you do. So, yeah, you have to move with the times. You have to adapt. And I think that makes you, like, every joke is written before you perform it, and you have to get better at writing then and knowing that, is this going to rub people the wrong way or is it not? So, like, I don't feel like there's any pressure on me to cater my material or anything like that. It still helps me just focus on being funny, and that's all I'm worried about.
I knew the comedy. I knew that you had gotten into to stand up, and then I started looking back. You've been doing it for years. What has changed in the last little while that's kind of bringing the music to the forefront? Is it a push from the label?
It's my music has been taking off more lately, the same way my comedy has, and I think that's actually more because I've embraced my identity, I guess, of who I am as a musician and who I am as a comedian. So I used to pursue both of them completely as separate entities. There was Kyle the comedian, and there's Kyle the musician, Pico Cat, and I looked at them completely differently, that I treated them and I would promote them separate.
Right.
And I thought, like, and I'm doing this all from Belleville, which is not the most creative city, and in neither one, if you were to set out on a career path for either one, Belleville's not the place to do it. You have to go to a city where there's more people doing it and there's more attention to be received. So I always pitied myself as, like, I'm this guy, lonely guy in Belleville, and I'm never going to get anywhere because I'm trying to do the impossible. And I finally was able to get rid of that viewpoint and think, I'm actually pretty lucky to be in this position. I'm in a city that doesn't get a lot of attention for this kind of stuff, and I feel like I'm the only one doing it here, so why don't I use that more to my advantage? Why don't I play up on that more, and I can do things on my own that I couldn't do if I was writing for a TV show or things like that. I have more freedom to just do what I want. And so that took hold, and I combined both into one. So I now just look at myself as a comedian and a musician as one package, not I'm a guy who's doing this and a guy who's doing that. It's all one. And so I think that has improved my craft, I guess.
For somebody who hasn't heard you before, what is kind of the influence, if you were to describe a sound or an international or Canadian artist that you kind of flow from, is there a way to pinpoint what you do, or is it kind of evolving all the time?
It's evolving, and that's very much my style, is I don't like to have a single style. So I have an album coming out in September called Belleville, and I don't like to do a whole album of having one sound, because to me that's boring, and I don't want to listen to an album of someone's that's one sound. And that's one thing I loved about the Beatles, was that they would create so much music in a whole album, like the White Album, every single 22-track, two-sided album with 20 tracks, and every song sounds completely different. And they infuse so many different styles into their music, and that's how I feel. Like, I'm a fan of so much music, so I want it I want to create different styles of music. So I don't really know what my signature sound is. I can say I was influenced by the Beatles and bands like Yes and King Crimson, but I also love really pop bands like 80s pop. I love 80s Madonna.
Right.
And Hall & Oates. And then there's a whimsical side of me that creeps into my music as well. I guess like a current band that's most accurate is Tame Impala, which around here wouldn't have much of a following, but that's like the closest thing I can say I'm to. But
yeah.
But then I'm a guy who also, I play every instrument of my own and produce the music on my own and all that stuff too. So every part of the process is me, and I enjoy every part of the process too.
And I guess lastly, would you feel you're a product of the times, in the sense that if you were exactly who you were 50 years ago, the ability to get yourself out there would be a lot
It'd
more
be
difficult?
Impossible. I don't know how. One of the other things I do is I'm a college professor, and I teach a course on comedy and sort of the history of it it's one of the things I teach, that, you know, some comedians that you see today, if you went back 20 years, it would have been impossible for them to achieve anything because there was no outlet for them. Like guys like Andy Samberg in The Lonely Island got on to SNL by creating their own content on YouTube. If they had been around 5 years earlier than that, YouTube wouldn't have been a thing, and they wouldn't have had a following that got them into SNL, and now they're big, huge stars. So yeah, I'm definitely a person, the product of the times, but I feel like I'm lucky to be a part of this time where you see so much of that independent people. They have the technology at their hands to be able to do what they want now and create the things that they want without someone telling them, no, you can't say that, no, you can't do that.
Right.
So yeah, definitely I feel like a product of my time.